You break it, you bought it. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, San Diego, Cheyenne, Kansas City, Yakima. Well, not Yakima, but soon. Roth Radio, David Lee, live in front of your naked steaming eyes. Direct from Hollywood, after 6 months of no work, we got the gang here, all kinds of good stuff in the newspaper, a whole lot of noise in the internet. We're broadcasting internationally here, actually. We're going, give me a little more level on my microphone there one time so I don't have to talk so loud, Hutch. Aldous Hutchley, our pilot here. How are you, Hutch?
Good morning, Dave. I'm fine, thank you.
You look pretty lively. Did you just stay up or did you wake up?
No, you know what? At 4 o'clock this morning, I was vacuuming this studio like you wouldn't believe. Cookie crumbs, crap everywhere.
Why do you think? Did the staff stay over? That's been happening. They don't know it upstairs, all the way at the top of the building. They don't know what goes on around here after hours, man. No, it's noise. It's great. It's colorful. Here's speaking of colorful, Walmart apes the DVD listening. Racist recommendation, or is this a fluke? Okay, guys, we're going to want to weigh in on this one. It's 866-313-3733. The gang is with me. I'm going to read this to you here. This comes from one of the news agencies. The product listing on Walmart's website for a Planet of the Apes DVD suggests films about black historic figures like Martin Luther King as similar items. I hear Robin has a thought. Okay, hold on. Maybe it's just a metadata anomaly. Hey, aren't they on Sony? Some readers have suggested that the entries might all share keywords for race or something. But evidently, Walmart, who's never out of the news for longer than 13 days anymore, much like myself, has been seen on the website for Planet of the Apes DVD, suggests that there are similar films, and it also lists stories about historic black figures like Dorothy Dandridge and Martin Luther King as similar items. Why do you think it's similar? Go.
Boy, that is so big, I don't even know what to say.
You're just
that.
Afraid to say anything
I'm
is what it is.
Stunned. Well, that too. But, wow. That's just horrifying.
Where do you go with it? No, it's not horrifying, because here's what's probably going on, is that some dummy down in Dothan, Alabama, or somebody like that thought, you know what? These are the movies that they watch a lot of in the hood. And he's right. Seriously. These are the kinds of pictures that are really, really popular. It's action, science fiction. Come on.
And Dorothy Dandridge?
No. The monkeys have nothing to do with black people. Okay? Black people are not monkeys. That's not the point. Makes a great news item, but I don't think that's the point of what Walmart was thinking. What do you think, man?
What do you think? They were doing market research there, and they showed this crossover appeal between films about Ray and films like Planet of the Apes?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Planet of the Apes, Carlito's Way, Godfather,
Donnie Brasco,
Scarface. This is all property of the hood. I've got a place down on the Lower East Side that is, what's it called? Burkina Faso, which is actually country. Not country, right? It's all hip-hop. And they've got DVDs. They've got an array of DVDs that's as long as a Buick. And every single one of them is bringing the noise. You know, it's all, you know, fights and color and science fiction and everything. So what do you think? Was there a racist issue here? Or do you think that this is a, somebody's trying to do marketing and got popped for supposedly something they didn't do? What do you think?
No, that's spin. That's getting themselves in the paper, and that's what I think.
So we should hire the writer?
Hire the PR people.
Okay, upshot on Howard Stern's daughter, too. Now, is that the end of the news? Is she out of the play?
I heard that she dropped out, and the backers are upset because she had committed to staying in, that, you know, people were taking nude pictures of her, and the backers had promised to keep her identity a secret, is what I read.
That's not possible.
It's not possible. Right. I mean, maybe for 20 minutes.
I'm sorry?
What were they thinking?
Who was that?
The producers of the play, that her last name is Stern, and they would somehow keep her anonymous.
Was
and
she,
list, would
was she
out.
Listed as Stern?
I believe so.
She wasn't. Soup is nodding his head. He's going, no.
She was listed as Imus.
Okay.
She was.
they camouflaged her with the name Imus.
Well, this is an interesting question. How old was the girl? 22 years old. All right. So she's of age. She's of vision. And Pop, is she living at home? There's an interesting.
Not anymore.
Dimitri, you got little girls. What would you say if your daughters was 22 and wanted to go dance and show her little boobies? What would you say?
Well, Robin said not anymore. I would think forevermore. You know, she's going to stay at home and not be allowed out of the house after that.
At the age of 22? Yeah.
Perhaps. I don't know.
And
depends on what kind of daddy is. I don't know.
That Mr. Stern, how can he, at 22, she's got to be able to do what she wants. But I heard that Mr. Stern was quite upset about this.
Well, the sins of the father will be visited upon the paint job of the kids.
Yeah, talk about karma. And also, speaking
Pop,
of paint job.
Pop has been making a great living with his genitals for 20 years, man.
And others. And she dyed her hair blonde to do the Madonna thing, but there was a big thing in the...
It's not the Madonna thing anymore, sweetie. It's
oh,
the
that's what I was
it's, no, no, it's the Avril Lavigne thing.
Well, she was doing Kabbalah. So the picture I saw was the big cone bra.
What's Kabbalah? I've done everything else.
It's a diet drug.
It's a kind of water.
That's right. A little red bracelet thing.
No, it literally is a kind of water.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to want to talk about it. Go ahead, finish your thought. Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
That she dyed her hair blonde for this thing, but they made a point to say that not all her body hair was dyed blonde.
So the carpet didn't match the drapes.
Did not match.
Is that what gave it away?
I suppose. Maybe that's how they knew it was Stern, yeah.
Somebody recognized the perm, huh? Give it the music for exclamation point. Special guest, Dimitri. How do you pronounce your last name, brother?
Gatsiunas.
It's backwards. His name is actually a backwards devil message. That's so cool. I had a backwards devil message once. We put it on the album Skyscraper when you revolved the song Skyscraper. You know, it goes, zip out, which is what I sound like until lunch on a Sunday. But allegedly. Oh, coughing and snotting like a stripper on a Sunday morning. Roth, 866-313-3733. The backward devil message, you would rhyme it on the song Skyscraper and it would go, obey your parents and use a condom. Well, it was more like a God message, but my God is a fierce and vengeful Old Testament comedian type of God. Is it? Speaking of fierce and vengeful comedians, Robin Bakai, how are you this morning?
I'm doing just swell. Not used to being up this early, but it's not
lying.
So bad.
Stop lying, slut. You're a strumpet.
Not used to being up this so early with...
You're not used to waking up.
I'm not used to waking up. Thank you. Yeah. As you can tell, having a little stutter here.
A little bit. Brian Young on the guitar. Give us a squeal there, Ben. Whoa. Oh, Animal, our director of security. Weigh in on there. Say hello, Animal. Give him the microphone there. Do you know where he is?
Yeah, he's on. You should be on there, Animal.
Nothing?
Nothing, baby.
We'll get Animal's microphone fixed up there. It's okay. Yeah. Infinity was in charge of that, man. Go grab grab one of the fellas outside. Grab one of the engineers outside. We can hook him up there. Here he comes. Desperate. It's okay. We're not in the helicopter. Well, I'm gonna open up phone lines 866-313-3733 because you know what? I think that if the kid is 22 years old and today, I think 15 years old is a break point. If you're pretty much formatted by the time you're 15, the only way that I would see that she was going to move back into the house would be if there's fabulous wealth there. You know, so there's, it's very different than if when I was 21, if my parents said, you never be in music again or you're never coming home. That was the reason I got into music, so I never had to come home. And I didn't for 30 years, all right? But I could see if it was Donald Trump's daughter, especially if it's a girl, there, you know, there's a little, the bias is more towards home at that point, you know, so... She may actually make that decision. You think she's legit into theater? What do you think?
I don't know. The photo I saw, I'm not totally convinced. It's pretty out there. And the production is dubbed what? Off, maybe even off Broadway.
So what do you think is happening? Do you think she's...
I think she's got a ways to go. Before she makes
now wait, she actually studies theater, right?
Oh,
she
yeah, Stella Adler.
I'm not even at a tipping point here because I'm going to level with you. Yeah. I completely support her opportunity to do that, man. I do. I completely say, if she's of age, if she's 18 years old and 1 minute, especially if she's coming from a kind of a background from her dad that has the wealth and the wherewithal to go to school, I know nothing of their background. And I suppose that's intentional as well. You know, Howard protects his private life of his family pretty jealously and pretty successfully.
And well, he should.
Oh, absolutely. And with that in mind, I'm going to say that the kid probably grew up in a good environment with substance, you know, just from what I know of the mom on the radio, that there was a real environment there. Yeah. Actual two parents and parents who cared, you know. Okay, dad is
one and a half parents.
He's a little colorful in his day job, but so was mine in a completely alternative, different kind of way. So I'm going to say that she had all the opportunities to be built right, built tough. You know, she's driving a straight rig. And if she makes that decision when she's 18 years old in 1 minute, Hello, Cleveland, baby.
What?
You got a thought, Sue?
Yeah, don't you think that she's a little angry at Daddy? I mean, how do you do something like that the week before something real big is going on in his life? I think he did Larry King last night. I didn't see it, but I think he's still out heavily promoting and said to her, please don't do this, please don't do this. And she basically said, F you, I'm doing it.
Oh, really? He said to her in advance.
Yes, according to what I read, he said, please do not do this to me, which to me, those two words are probably the reason she went ahead and did it. I think she's been planning this for about 13 years.
Well, okay, that's potential. I mean, we're hearing it from the woman's side here, so I'm paying close attention,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, this is F you, Daddy, and thanks for everything
you've
done
for me. Well, and then there's, the issue of don't do this to me. Did he actually say that?
That was the quote I read. But, of course, I'm getting my source from...
Well, it may not... You know what? This may be the one thing that really pumps up the sales of Sirius Radio right there, right?
Absolutely could.
No, I mean, this is...
What is the spin? Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, now he's got, now that he's got more press on the paper.
Oh, smile and style. And now you see that it's real, that Howard's not faking it. It runs in the family, babe. Hey, a big salute to the kid. And Howard, shut up and ride, babe. You got the big wave. This is good for you. Here,
yeah, I'd also like to say, is she 18 or 22?
22.
Well, either way, nice rack. I was very impressed.
With or without the cones?
I saw the cones, and I'm sure they gave her another couple inches, but impressive rack.
Well, pictures add a few pounds, as I know.
She looked good.
Natural.
Did we get Animal back on? Is this Micah?
I believe we're working on Animal right now. Brian should be on.
We
should call Animal King Kong today.
Animals, you know what? Step on over here. Get on over to the side there on that other microphone, brother. Go ahead. Leave that behind here. Go ahead.
He's as big as King Kong.
You know what? Hook the headsets up here. Hey, yo. Hook the headsets up there for Animals so we can get on this thing. Listen. Same people who got us of all of our guests this week are running the electronics. No. What had happened was who's our Chertoff, our producer, and their friends and everything were in charge of taking care of the show. We spoke many times, and we haven't had a single guest this week, and I haven't missed them. Have you missed them?
No.
You're staring.
No,
like, you didn't even know it was part of the menu, did you?
I didn't. I didn't think. I didn't think twice about it.
Slide on over and let Animal sit on down over there. Animal, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, boss.
All right, man. You don't have any daughters, do you?
No, I have a son.
Oh wow! How old is your son?
20.
Okay.
Is he
would you let your
play?
Son? Yeah. Does he drink Kabbalah water, or is he a stripper, or what? Come on, weigh in on this, man.
Nah, man. He's a cook down in Alabama.
Was he cook? Oh. What kind of cook?
He works at a steakhouse called Steak and Ale.
Steak and Ale? No. You just lost his microphone, though.
Yeah, we got one better.
Okay, there we go.
We got all right.
Steak and Ale. Steak and Ale.
Yeah, Steak and Ale.
I know Steak and Ale.
Yeah,
I've played there before. I started taking guitar lessons. You saw my guitar teacher every now. Dimitri is my next door neighbor down downtown. We're not going to say exactly where because now that my picture's up on the wall, we attract all kinds of colorful people. We'll talk about stalkers a little bit later.
Yeah, we saw some this morning, didn't we? When we got out of the car, they weren't stalkers. They were fans.
Those are fans. Stalkers are very different. For example, I once had a 180-pound white female. Oh, yeah. That stalked me routinely. And we had to get her sent away. We sent her away twice to San Luis Obispo, which was a mental place in Southern California, Northern California.
Oh,
okay.
Dear.
Oh, yeah. She was a homeless person and everything. She would leave porno pictures of herself, but not good ones.
180 pound porn.
Oh yeah, and stuff. And then that's how I discovered what the mental van was in Los Angeles. There's always vans from the mental health whatever. Two big guys and usually a little Jewish girl, and they ride around. It's like a movie or something, and they ride around waiting on calls. Here in the ambulance, we call it EDP. When it comes up on our computer, it's EDP. It means emotionally disturbed person. But in LA, there's a lot more of it. Just like in Las Vegas, there's a whole lot more suicide or whatever. In Los Angeles, there's a whole lot more crazy.
A dog catcher for people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like with the net, right?
Right, exactly.
I keep waiting for somebody with a pith helmet and a net,
right?
For chasing me. That's what I expect. First time I walked into CAA, I expected that.
So how'd she first find out about you? And what'd she do? She would just follow you everywhere?
What did she
or
want?
She would just,
okay,
yeah,
well,
she
here's
want?
What she wanted. She was going around. This was in the 80s, okay? and she was going around. Things were a lot looser then, and consider that this was however many years ago.
And no stalking laws then.
Really? Who knew what a stalker was? A stalker was something that an outdoor person would do, you know, or whatever. She was going to different stores down on Melrose Boulevard, Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Boulevard, and telling people that she was my wife. Oh yeah, and you know
that's good for press. It's 180.
Well, no. Well, at the time she looked great. Okay, she had her face was kind of screwed up from sleeping on sidewalks and stuff. You get that puffy look, or where parts of your eyebrows wear off and stuff. But from like belly button down, she was a 9.5 on a 10 scale. Oh yeah, this is how she took care of herself. Okay,
so she could have been in the California Girls video.
Well, the one with the legs up in the air.
Well, right. With editing and lighting, anything is possible. Yeah. Like my mother used to say, Dave, with the right lighting, you could go far. Love you too, Ma. Happy hunting. Deborah Ruth got sent to San Luis Obispo a couple of times. When she finally got out, I was on the road, and she filed a restraining order on me, claiming that I had kidnapped our three kids that we had had together, literally sold them into slavery in Rio de Janeiro, and then left her at home with several black men who had had taken sexual advantage of her. I'm not making this up. This was all in the restraining order. Now, I'm out on the road somewhere between Kansas City and South Dakota or whatever, and one of the guys knocks on the door. He says, hey, boss, one of the guys from the rhythm section, he says, hey, Dave, you'd never, like, sell a kid, would you?
How much?
I paid a few $20 a dance, but I had to go to court 2 days running. I had to retain a lawyer. It cost me almost $10,000 worth of, you know, deposition time, lawyer time, travel time. I had to get on the airplane, fly all the way back to L.A. time, stay in a hotel time because I didn't have a house at the same time. Okay? The whole routine. She shows up. She's got a bandage on her forehead, right? She looks like she's been sleeping on cement again. But downstairs, she's lost weight. And that's how she got this pig lawyer. This guy had to be just, you know, 5'6", 600 pounds, lint all over the jacket. And you know he was squeezing her. You dig? Really? Because she had really good legs. Even the judge blinked when she walked in. Oh, yeah, the judge even blinked. And she came in and she sat on the stand. I'm telling you the truth now because I know there's millions of folks listening in on this. Is that she sat on the stand and claimed that I had telepathically robbed my lyrics for all of my solo career out of her brain. And that we had had several children. And in the course of the thing, described the children as variously Caucasian and black. Didn't know where Rio de Janeiro was. To this day, I'm sure it's a stripper.
You know, that just happened to Letterman with this restraining order. Did you hear about that?
Hang on 1 second. We're going to hear about it right after this.
David Lee Roth Mornings.
Woof, 6 a.m. Woof, 6 a.m.
Roth Radio live, a long line of noble predators I'm descended from. Give me a little lead solo there one time, baby. Yo!
Not sure if we're in D or what.
Doesn't matter if we're in key. It's 6:30 in the morning. Nobody's in key. Are you kidding? I ride my bicycle around in the city here broadcasting from New York City. The most dangerous thing towards me, the most dangerous thing I reach are the pedestrians, man. The cars are never a problem. Dimitri, you had a thought?
I did. This court case you mentioned, you yourself were according to your own self, kind of crazy in the 80s, crazy from the heat.
Oh, you're talking about my stalker who I had away and came and sued me for stealing my lyrics telepathically out of her brain. Go ahead.
Exactly. What was your appearance in court like? I mean, how'd you dress? How did you decide to dress?
Oh, come
on, man. Did
your
lawyer tell you to tone it down?
Please. Now, wait a minute. The first time that I ever went to court, ever, was when Van Halen, when I was in the band, we played school dances and stuff in the early 70s. And we played a gig at a girls' school in Pasadena, California. And the nuns, it was a Catholic girls' school, the nuns claimed that they smelled pot smoke backstage.
No.
Oh, yeah. And this was one of those one-page contracts for $150, you know, that says you shall not steal the curtains, you won't leave a mess, and there will be no drug use or whatever. I think this was 1974, 1975, this kind of thing. And they came backstage and claimed, no, we've smelled smoke. We think it's marijuana smoke. And they refused to pay us. So I went to small claims court in Pasadena, California, and I tied my hair back. I had a clip-on tie with a little white shirt and everything, and I sued the Mayfield School of the Holy Child of Jesus Incorporated. Oh, yeah. And I got up in front of the judge. And the judge said, the nun showed up. The two nuns and a family, mom, dad, and a couple little daughters. They really went for the Norman Rockwell painting Americana approach. We're going to play on the heartstrings, right? And the nun stood up and she said, they go first, the accuser. You know, she says, Your Honor, we said it. We smelled smoke. We feel that it was marijuana smoke. There was drug use. So that's why we did not pay the $150. And Judge looks at me and says, Mr. Roth, what do you have to say about this? I said, Your Honor, how does she know what marijuana smells like?
Right on.
I still have that $150 on me.
That's my Jesus $150.
That's my Jesus hunter, baby. But you had a thought earlier.
Oh, that Letterman.
Well, talk about that. What is that?
Very recent. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. This woman in, I believe it was New Mexico, was saying that he was telepathically sending her code through the TV and had been for a dozen years or so, and stealing her thoughts and wanting to marry her and being really upset about it, and that every time he used the word Oprah, he was really talking to her. And anyone who watches Letterman knows he uses that word a lot. So she went. The creepy part is that she went and she got a restraining order, and some judge gave it to her. So now Letterman is really upset because it's on his record.
Oh, and, totally, it's on his record.
And he wanted to have it quashed and
expunged.
Okay, I'll fight you on that, but okay.
No, you'll contest it.
I'll contest it. I'll get that Jesus $150 from you one way or the other.
Oh, you're going to have to squeeze his toe hard, baby.
But anyway, the judge who gave the restraining order finally did, they took it away. They contested it and it worked. So,
well, what
so they
happens?
Took away the restraining order.
But, if it's even vaguely believable, the judge has no idea, and the judge not even going to see it. Sometimes for months, you go down, you go to the little window, you put it on the piece of paper. All right, some kind of arbiter or somebody just is looking at 55 of those in one day. So if there's even a semblance of truth, it just says stole lyrics. It doesn't say stole lyrics out of my mind telepathically. Hey, if you were the judge, you'd let it roll, right? You'd look at it, it says stole my lyrics, stole my kids. You don't know.
How old was this girl?
She was in her early 30s.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So she was older than you at the time.
Oh, yeah. And she ran into me several times in a club at the Rainbow Bar and Grill and grabbed me and, you know, doing stuff. If I can't have you, I don't want anybody to have you. She showed up at my house, at my gate. She showed up at my sister's place of work where you had to get in the elevator and go up to the office and walked into the office and told her, I know you're telling David not to love me and not to be the girlfriend, et cetera, et cetera. So, hey.
Have you kept in touch?
With my sister?
Do you think she's listening?
No. I owe her $150. Hutch, you're looking at me. What is that? What's metric for 150? Huh?
No, I would like that 150. I mean, you're taking me out to dinner at some point, you said, right?
You're going to take you out to dinner and leave you there. Play something British on the track, and we'll go to the spots, baby.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Roth Radio, a primera hora, televisión Dave, solamente, yeah.
Roth Radio, nothing but yeah. Who's she? Look at all the people here tonight. 866-313-3733. David Lee, I got all my friends. The whole neighborhood is here, and it looks like the rest of the neighborhood is on the telephones. Okay, we're going to pick this one up. Number six, Brian, give us a call. You got number six, Hutch? Brian, are you with us still? Are you in the spotlight there? Talk to me, Brian. Got no Brian. How about head for number 13? Rob, are you there?
Yeah, hey.
What's on your mind this morning, Rob?
Dave, first of all, I got to tell you guys, I've been a longtime fan of yours.
Are you still?
The guy before you.
I beg your pardon?
And a longtime listener of the guy before you.
Same here.
I've been listening slowly but surely as you gain steam. Gaining steam. You've been on the air for 35 minutes today, and you guys are rocking this morning.
Thank you very much. That means a lot to me, my friend. It's very rare that somebody's going to change a job at this age, especially when you step into radio. You know, somebody like the great Stern started when he was, what, 25 years old? It's like being in showbiz music. You know, you're going to go on the road or whatever. Very few people put on the hockey skates at the age of 51, and much less come and stand in the hottest seat in all of American radio, arguably international radio here. I do it with nothing but respect for the great Stern and disrespect for all the other conventions of radio. What's on your mind this morning?
Actually, I picked up the phone originally to call when you were talking about the daughter.
Okay, go for it. I want to hear what you think.
He was doing that Larry King show today and claims he never told her for a minute she shouldn't do it.
Oh.
That's what it said in the Post.
Well, the Post is, you know, okay, there's a lot of hearsay, and I heard it around the campfire kind of stuff. So he said he could, so according to what you're aware
of. According to what he said today to King, or last night to Larry King, he never told her to do it. She bailed out because she went in knowing she had the whole daddy thing going for or against her and didn't want them to sell the show based on her name. And as the last few days have worn on, they started promoting the show based on we have his daughter naked.
Ah, okay, I get it.
Yeah, apparently there was a verbal agreement, one of those verbal agreements, saying you're not going to do that. You can't exploit me in that way, but I want to do this show. I want to be an actor.
Ah, I got you. Okay. So it's one of those a little quickie bait and switch. It turns out that the promoter was a man of his most recent word, and what's new in show business, huh? You know, I totally get it. It's kind of like when sometimes I do a lot of ads for the radio show here, and willingly, because I used to practice those voices when I was a little kid and go, and just remember when you smoke Kent. I'm not kidding, but that's what we used to do as kids and sit around and go, boy, silly rabbit. or I even used to sing, can't get enough of them sugar crisps. Can't get enough of them. Hey, grandma. Now I do it for a living. But sometimes they send me ads where it goes, you know, whenever I do this and whenever I do this and I eat this because I, me, I. And I go, whoa. Come on. There's a point here where, you know, if you're going to base it on somebody's name, you got to add a few zeros to the dollar.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
endorsement, right?
That's endorsement. Okay. I love doing the ads, but there's a point where if you're going to put my face on the front of the box, then you got to rename the box Dave. Okay.
You see Dave on a Wheaties box?
No more Wheaties. Like a thunderbolt in the Cheerios, we are. Roth Radio, broadcasting New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. And I think, I give a salute to the chick, and I give a salute to Dad then. I think if he said, you can do it if you want, God bless him. Good dad. And if she bailed because the promoter was a scumbag,
whole new ballgame.
Hey, I can introduce you to some of my attorneys, darling, Darth Vader and Sons. We'll lay waste with no regard for their presence whatsoever. Let's take another one here. Number eight, Gary, says his daughter was nude.
Yeah, this I want to hear.
And Gary, are you on? He's number eight there. Is he still with us?
How you doing, Dave?
Extraordinary. Yeah, Gary, you're in the spotlight. Go ahead and tell us what's on your mind.
Well, she was 18 at the time. She's 20 now, but I never saw it in the magazine. My wife was approached by her, and she told her. And basically, it was very humiliating.
Hold on one second. Which magazine was she in?
I told your guy there was Jugs, but it's actually barely legal, is what my wife's telling me.
Oh, okay.
And she was barely legal at the time. She was 18, but I just couldn't bring myself to even look at it. And what happened was, I told her to get out of the house. I said, it turns out her nickname in the magazine was Peaches or something like that. And I just thought it was absolutely ridiculous. I told her to move out.
Stop right here. Hold on one second. I'm going to hear you out, but there are a few points here that I'd love for you to illuminate, because we give everybody the opportunity here. This ain't Al Franken, and I'm not O'Reilly. We're nice in the middle here. Everybody gets their time in the spotlight here. We love conflict. Now, you threw her out at which age?
When she was 18.
Ooh, that's a pretty severe punishment. Did you feel she had the wherewithal to go out and live on the streets and earn her own living, take care of herself, get her car insurance, her health insurance, her medical paid for, her domicile and everything at that age? Some people are.
Well, she was with a boyfriend at the time for about 2 years, so I didn't care at the time.
How old was the boyfriend?
60. Similar age. I mean, he graduated. He was 19, I guess. He graduated high school.
Oh, he's prepared to do everything. He's all ready to start rowing the boat down at the lowest end of the aircraft carrier there. He doesn't even know what a compass is at that point. All he knows is to have good time and to barely keep it in his pants like every guy, okay? What my point is do you think she was doing this to you, or she was doing this to have fun?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I lost my job at the time, and I was a little upset.
Did you lose your job because of the picture?
No. I lost my job before that, before she did all this, and we were having tough times at home. So I didn't know if this was her lashing out at me or what. But,
well, the picture could have brought in some extra money.
Hold on one second. Dimitri, you've got a couple daughters. Go ahead and tell us what you think, man.
Oh, I'm just curious about, you said you didn't see the pictures, right? You didn't look at them?
I couldn't.
You couldn't. And what did your wife say about the pictures? Did she say they were flattering, or they were humiliating, or what was her take on them?
Oh yeah, totally downgrading and just, you know.
No, well, yeah, barely legal
nudity,
is one of
full nudity and you know.
Oh no, let's cut to the crash here. But barely legal is one of my favorite magazines, and that's completely Sushi Bar. That's what I call it. It's got nothing to do with Playboy magazine.
Hustler owns Barely Legal, don't they?
I believe so. But just remember that Larry Flint also owns Special Weapons and Tactics magazine that all the police read for a long time. No, he owns
the nude guns.
No, he owns like 20 different magazines, and they're not all sex biased. Right. But Barely Legal is, it's not extreme, you know, but I understand you're upset about it. What did you say to her when you first saw it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't confront her about it up front. I let my wife talk to her, but I was just trying to find more work. You know, I was really, that was the one thing in my mind, really, that was bothering more than anything else.
So do you think that you maybe transferred some of that anger onto her? Because I understand that you would be upset if you saw your daughter in that magazine. On the other hand, and please take this with all due respect and whatever, I have no idea what she looked like, but if she was as cute as most of the girls in the magazine and she was over 18, I'd date her.
Well, I mean, she was a decent-looking girl, but nothing like I haven't seen on the road with my band, you know?
Oh, you're in a rock band.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I
the
was,
plot you know, thickens.
Oh, dear.
Okay, stop right there. Animal, you're on. Go ahead. What do you think of all this, brother?
Oh, man. You know,
our microphone isn't working on Animal there.
Yeah, he's supposed to be working. Go ahead, Animal. Try again.
Am I on now?
We'll pick him up there. We'll pick him.
Okay. I got you. I was on for.
No, he's not on at all. I don't hear him in my headsets at all. Are you still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, what's the upshot of all this? What are you gonna say? Are you gonna track this girl down, or has she gone out of your life forever?
Well, I'm trying to track down my band and get back with them, because Eddie, Michael, and Anthony are the boys, and I'm trying to get back in.
Say that again. What was that? I missed it.
I'm trying to get back in with my band. I only did one album with him, Gary Cherone here.
Are you Gary Cherone?
Yeah.
I thought you were doing the vagina monologues. You know what? I understand both sides to this thing. Like I said, you know, my larcenous past would lead me to say, if she's 1 minute over 18 years old and she's got a sense of humor, then she's an American citizen and the law says, okay.
Got a question.
Go ahead.
Sorry. What's she done since? Has she appeared in any other publications since?
I don't think he's on the line anymore.
We lost him.
I'm still here.
Oh, go ahead. Has she appeared in any other publications? Is this now how she earns her living?
Or is she doing something else?
Yeah, now she's in, The Insider she's in.
What is The Insider? That's familiar sounding. What is that? I don't know what that magazine.
there's a bunch of girls named Peaches in there too.
Okay, I don't mean to laugh at you. You know what? It sounds to me like there's a whole lot of anger in the family. And what do you think, Robin? Is she doing it to Daddy?
What Daddy do to her that got her there? Something must have happened. Made her want to take her clothes off, especially in that particular magazine.
But no, what's the band like?
Yeah, what kind of band is this? Is this a rock band? Are you serious?
Yeah.
What kind? Was it a heavy metal band?
Like rock and roll. They did a lot of cover songs and stuff, so I tried to stay with them. But
got you. Cover songs by what bands?
Van Halen.
I think I see the entire formula here. Good luck to you. You're really going to need it. Glenn, Prowler in Dave's House, number 14. I know this bunch real well. Let's see. Number 14, you're on. Hey, Prowler Dave. And Dave's. No, put the loop back on there, Holmes. Are you on?
I'm a fan of all your solo CDs, including DLR Band and Diamond Dave.
And what about it?
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Didn't you have a prowler at your house like 3 years ago on California?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it came over a big wall at about 3:30 in the morning, and I made him lay down in the sprinkler system until the cops showed up.
Why, did you see it on TV?
That was on TV?
Yeah, it was on television in America's Most Wanted and all this kind of thing. It was some character. It was a local character, it turns out, the neighborhood tweaker. They found some methamphetamine in his pocket and a Spyderco knife with a thumb lock, you know, is an anti-personnel instrument or whatever. But
is that your scariest encounter near the home ground?
Oh, come on, man. I spent 6.5 tours in a tour bus with Eddie Van Halen. Nothing scares me. Okay, number 6. Jason says the girl is old enough. Hutch is hitting the button up there. Which girl is he talking about? Is he talking about the girl in, in Barely Legal? Or is he talking about Stern's daughter? Go ahead, you're on.
Yeah, Dave. I kind of disagree with you. It sounded like you didn't think she should have got kicked out. I figure if she's old enough to pose in a magazine, Barely Legal, she's old enough to take care of herself, pay her own bills, pay her boyfriend's bills. I mean, she's not taking those pictures for free, is she?
Almost for free, I'm certain, and she's probably not old enough to kind of figure ahead three squares down the old chessboard. It takes a long time to start figuring out your way through the jungle, and that jungle that she just entered is one of the worst ever. The world of pornography, the world of vice and everything, though one of my favorites.
Does kicking her out of the house make her more or less likely to pose in a magazine again?
I don't know. Does throwing a child into the swimming pool at the age of one make it a swimmer, or does it drown? I know you never get the final percentages on that, do you? We see the cartoon of dad throwing the little infant in the water, and the kid always swims. You never see the film of the kid that sank to the bottom. Is this a kid who's going to sink to the bottom or what?
No, she's going to be all right. If she's a good-looking girl, she'll be able to take care of herself. And Dave, one more thing.
All the way up until heroin addiction.
For nobody like me, can you explain to me how does it feel to have your choice of groupies?
That came out of nowhere.
I certainly can. You get what's called choice fatigue.
Fatigue? How can you get fatigued about that?
Oh, no. You get what I call choice fatigue, and I say it like this. You love it, baby. It's like lobster. Just not every single night.
I wish I was you. You're great,
Dave. Oh, you know, what happens is like when you get your brand new cable TV or whatever, you know, direct TV or whatever it is you got. You got 300 channels, and you watch them all, or you try to watch them all, one right after the other, and you channel surf. Finally, you narrow it down for, and this is an analogy I make it. I've narrowed it down to the 6 or 8 favorite vices that I've had, and when I mix that with my new job, that's about all the time and energy and calories that I have, allegedly. Turn them up there, Hutch. Say again. I missed you. Go again.
Okay, dude.
I lost him.
Repeat what you said. What did you say?
It doesn't matter. Jeff, he says he's got telepathic songs on number 9. Hit up number 9 there, Hutch. Yo, Jeff, are you on?
Wow, I'm on the phone with David Lee Roth.
I'm telepathically hearing voices here. Did that actually occur?
Actually, it's not me. It's I posted the Roth Army, which is one of your main fan sites out there. And there's a gentleman that posts online that likes to claim that he has some kind of connection with you, Dave. And I was wondering if you could perhaps debunk this myth this morning. He claims to have written the lyrics to "Take Your Whiskey Home." And
no, that's not happened. I wrote every single lyric that Van Halen ever recorded, and the titles, and designed all but one album cover. I designed the stage shows, the videos, wrote, directed, edited the videos, designed the backdrops, designed even Eddie Van Halen's guitar. You know where that came from with all the stripes on it? I stole the idea from the guy in The Clash. That was the punk rock element in England. And they had that bass guitar, I think it was, remember, with all the stripes on it? And I said to Eddie, you should put a whole lot of tape on your guitar and then spray paint it. And we were playing at the Whiskey A Go-Go. And in fact, Eddie didn't even make the guitar. His roadie, Rudy Laren, did it. And I was the one who gave Rudy the paint. I had the spray paint from the basement of my house over on Orange Grove Boulevard, and we named it Ubab.
Cool. I just wanted to get you on the record for that for the Army out there. Dave, your show is great. We've been listening all week at the Army. I think it's fantastic what you're doing. It's hilarious. It's a breath of fresh air.
Thanks so much. That's important to me. I appreciate it, my friend.
My pleasure, Dave. A bunch of us listen to you every morning when we post, and I just want to say hello to Jerome, Frenchies, and Bantanelli, and
a big shout out to Baby Hulk Jr. and Yo Annie Moe.
Hey, hey.
We're going to break for spots. Don't go away. 866-313-3733. More with David Lee.
David Lee Roth. Weekday mornings.